Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And it's good to be here on New Visions Radio this Sunday evening, March 26, 2023. You can find us here every week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're really grateful to be here. We want to thank Ray Powers for giving us the chance to be here each and every week. It's really a blessing to be here.
Yes, it's great. It's wonderful. Just even if it was just you and me by ourselves, it would be great to study God's Word. But now we can share it with whoever wants to listen.
And you know, we want to thank you all for tuning in. And it's because you tune in that we're here every week and we're able to do this. We're really grateful that you all are here. And we want to tell you that if you ever have a Bible question, or if you have a comment or something that you would like for us to discuss, if there's something in the Bible that maybe you've wondered about, send us an email. And if they want to contact you, Ed, how do they contact you?
My email address is ed@prophecyhope.com.
And mine is mark@prophecyhope.com. And Ed, tell us a little bit about the Prophecies of Hope ministry.
Okay, again, we're just a small little ministry in Stanton, Virginia. And we started in around 2015.
Yeah.
And that's a while ago now.
It is. It's hard to believe.
And we have a little church that we meet at. We should probably tell the story of how we got that
church. I think that would be good, yeah.
But anyways, it's literally a gift from God. But anyways, we have Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. And that, if you're interested in, we Zoom. And we have a church service on Saturday or the Sabbath, where we have a Bible study at 9:30. That is streamed live on the internet, as well as having a Zoom meeting. And then we have a normal church worship hour at 11 a.m.
Yeah, that's it. And most of the time, not all of the time, most of the time, Ed is, as you've noticed, if you've been tuning in for any period of time, he's a really excellent Bible teacher. And one of the things I love about the way Ed teaches is when you ask a question, he doesn't say, well, I think. What do you say, Ed?
Well, let's see what the Bible has to say.
And I love that. I love that. This is where we need to go. That should be the authority.
I don't want anybody to depend on what you or I say for their faith. They need to take it from God's Word.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, I've learned so much from Ed and his study methods and the way that he looks into the Bible and he proof texts things. And, you know, we've been through a lot of things together, haven't we? And I've learned a lot from you, and it's just been a blessing. So that's a little bit about the Prophecies of Hope ministry. Now, I will tell you, if you've been trying to go to the website lately, we've been going through some growing pains. It's up and running. We're still adding to it. We add to it every week. And there are, at this time, there's over 400 sermons on the Prophecies of Hope website. And you can do a word search if you're looking for a particular topic. And also, the radio programs are archived there as well.
Okay.
And that website is www.prophecyhope.com. And so if you miss a program, you can always go there and listen to it. Usually they get there a couple of weeks after they're here.
Right.
And sometimes I get a little behind in posting them. But I think that's about it as far as the telling people about Prophecies of Hope.
Okay.
I guess it's time to have a prayer and open God's Word, huh?
All right. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're grateful again for this opportunity to come together and to open your Word, the Bible. And Father, the times and the days we live in, we need to know what your Word says to direct our lives, to keep us safe from the evil influence of the world, and to have your will done in our lives, that we can be servants to your cause, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now as we open your Word, Father, we ask for wisdom and understanding as we study the words on the page, and for the Spirit of truth to guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, you know, Ed, I really appreciated that prayer because I talk to people, you know, we interact with people every day in normal life, and everybody, it seems, it doesn't seem, no matter what the background, whether Christian background or otherwise, or even atheist, they recognize that something is wrong in the world.
Yeah.
That something is just not quite right. And, you know, as Christians, we have that hope that Christ is going to come,
right,
whether it's in our lifetime or not, we have that hope that, yes, we know that eventually things are going to be different than they are,
yes,
now. And last week in our study, we were looking through the Bible account of Acts chapter 17.
Right.
And, you know, Paul was someone who preached the gospel. He was one who had the same hope that we have.
Yes.
And so can you tell us, give us a little overview of some of the things that we talked about last week in Acts 17? Do you remember some of those?
Well, you know, Paul had a burden to share his newfound belief and faith and understanding of who Jesus Christ was,
yeah,
with his own people, the Jewish nation.
Yes.
And so here in Acts 17, you know, he's continuing in his travels and his missionary journey, mm-hmm, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ among the Jews. And he was regularly in the synagogue.
Yes, he was.
You know, preaching, teaching, debating with the Jewish leaders about who Christ was and what difference it makes.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul and Silas were in Berea. And this is such a key thing for me in terms of studying God's word. In verse 11 of Acts 17, it says, "These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so." Mm-hmm. The things that Paul and Silas were preaching, they didn't take their word for it.
Right.
They searched the Bible to see if they were preaching what the Bible says.
You know, and just before the prayer, that's one of the things that you said,
yeah,
that, you know, I said, one of the things I appreciate about your studies is you always say, well, let's see what God's word says. And that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
They said, well, just because Paul's an authority, it doesn't mean he's right.
Right.
So they went back to God's word to make sure. And friends, this is what we want to encourage you to do.
Yes.
Go to God's word and make sure of the things, whether it's us or your pastor or a friend, if you're having a conversation with someone. It's good to know the Bible and be able to cite verses, mm-hmm, but it's always better if you open it
and read the words on the page.
You said that in your prayer.
Sometimes what the words on the page say are different than what you thought they said.
That happens to me a lot. Yeah. I will quote something and I'll say, well, wait a minute. I misquoted it.
Yeah.
That's not what it says.
Right.
I've done that so many times, Ed. So reading the words on the page and letting them speak for themselves,
yes,
without interjecting my own personal agenda.
Right.
Right? So take us a little further through this.
Okay,
this is really good.
In Acts 17, we came to the account or the story of Paul speaking in the Areopagus. And he sees all these idols in Athens, and he sees this one that is to the unknown God. And so he takes that opportunity to introduce people to the Jehovah, the God that created heavens and earth.
Right.
And to his son, Jesus Christ. And it was an opportunity to spread the gospel. And so when we look at, continue on in chapter 18, Paul is in Corinth. And he is in verse 4, it says, "He reasoned in the synagogue on every Sabbath, persuading both Jews and Greeks."
Mm-hmm.
And when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ, or Jesus is the Messiah.
Yes.
That word Christ means Messiah.
Yes, it does.
So in verse 6, look at this. "And they resisted and blaspheming. Shaking his garments, he said to them, 'Your blood is on your own heads. I am pure from it. From now on, I will go to the nations.'"
Wow.
The nations referring to the Gentiles.
Right. That's right.
And so Paul is changing his ministry from being concerned and wanting to share the gospel with his fellow brethren, his fellow Jewish brethren, and now he's going to the rest of the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You know, there's a lesson here. If people don't want to hear the message, if they are openly rejecting it and saying, you know, I don't care about that, I don't want to hear it, why should we force them to hear it? You know, we can respectfully just,
right,
say, okay, you know, I disagree,
uh-huh,
but I'm going to go elsewhere. And that's what he did.
Right.
That's what he was doing. The other thing that I find interesting in this text, you read in verse 4, that he, that's Paul, reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks.
Right.
And you mentioned that we meet every Sabbath, which right. is the biblical Sabbath is Saturday, from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday.
And so why do we choose Saturday?
Because this was the day that God chose in the beginning, and it was the seventh day of the week.
Right. So, you know, at the end of creation, on that, as the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, that God rested on the seventh day.
That's what it says.
To celebrate what he had created, because it was good. It was beautiful.
Yes.
And he rested from his work on that seventh day.
Absolutely. And so when we look at this account in Acts chapter 18, a lot of Christians have been taught, they've been taught that the Sabbath was done away when Jesus died.
Right.
But this is after Jesus has been resurrected. Right. And Paul is still going in. I want you to notice verse 4. This is really important. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. This is Acts 18, verse 4. And persuaded, does it say only Jews?
No.
No. Mine says both Jews and Greeks, or Jews and Gentiles. So it means that the people who at that time knew who the one true God is, if they were going to worship him, they would be coming together on that day that he chose. It's a beautiful thing. And so as a ministry, we try to do exactly what the first century Christians were doing. This is exactly what Jesus was doing. He was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So I just thought that was a good point there. And so now you've pointed out that Paul says, okay, you guys don't want to hear the message. I'm going to go elsewhere and preach.
Now the rest of Acts 18 talks about Paul's continuing to be in Corinth, but he's not preaching from the synagogue anymore. Hmm. And it tells, as usual, Paul ruffles some feathers.
Yeah, he did.
People get upset with him, and they incite the whole town to come up against him, and he's taken before the magistrates. And again, God protects him, and he is let go. In fact, in verse 17, the people that were making accusations against Paul ended up being, what it says here in my Bible says that they beat them before the judgment seat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what mine says.
Yeah.
It says, then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things.
And Gallio's the governor or the ruler or the magistrate in this situation.
Now, one of the things that we kind of discussed right before we started this program, you mentioned how Acts chapter 18 is kind of a ministry that Paul has.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we don't often look at, if you have in your Bible maps a lot of times in the back or in the front, take a look at those maps, and because they're very interesting. A lot of the Bibles will have outlined these ministry tours.
The missionary tour.
Missionary tour that Paul went on, and it gives you where he went. And it's amazing when you look at that and you think, yeah, they didn't have transportation like we have today. So he was either on a sailboat, if he was at sea, or rowing, right?
Yeah.
He didn't have a motorboat like we have now. Right. And it wasn't a cruise liner, for sure.
Yeah, and he was walking a lot.
Yes, he was walking. So imagine, you know, this is the kind of zeal that he had for Jesus Christ and his Father. I mean, to think that this was this important to him, that he would go through all of this trouble, that he would be beaten and scourged and taken before men, but he never stopped preaching. Mm-hmm. So where are we going next, Ed?
Well, in Acts 18, the rest of Acts 18 talks about Paul returns to Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last part talks about a man called Apollos that spoke boldly in Ephesus and talks about this man meeting some Jews. And
are you in verse 24? Is that where you?
I'm trying to find. I reviewed this a little earlier. In verse 18, he met Priscilla and Aquila, and I believe they taught Apollos more information about the gospel.
And you want to just read some of this?
Yeah,
what do you
maybe
think?
Start in verse 24 and read through 28.
Okay, so this is Acts chapter 18,
beginning
in verse 24, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ."
So here we have a man who was a disciple of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He was preaching the word, yet he didn't understand fully the whole word of the gospel. And so these two people, Aquila and Priscilla, heard him, and they just shared with him their knowledge of the Scriptures.
Right.
And so it enabled him to further preach the truth of God's word.
You know, it's, I think this, the tone in which we speak to people can be everything. And I think there's a good lesson here. It doesn't say that they drilled him and they said, "What's wrong with you?"
Yeah.
It says in my translation, when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside.
Yeah.
They didn't chastise him in front of people.
Right.
They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately.
Right.
And so many times, let's face it, I'm guilty of this in my past. You know, I hear somebody say something wrong, and I that's not what that says. That's not what that means.
Right.
And so there's a great lesson for us here
in
being tactful and kind.
You know, I've thought about this in the past month or so, and I think it really has to do with our motivation. The way I respond, am I responding because I want to prove somebody else wrong and myself right?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I have a concern for that person or those persons? And do I have a love for God to the point that I want to share with them the truth of God's word so they can experience the joy and peace and hope that I have in their lives? That's a big difference in motivation, and that affects how you talk with people.
It does. It does. And, you know, I know Paul was a bold man, but when he was speaking to the religious leaders, he obviously had a different demeanor than he had with the other people.
Right.
And really, he had to.
Right.
Because a lot of times when you speak with leaders, they know things that the rank and file people in the church may not know.
Mm-hmm.
So he could speak with more authority, and sometimes he had to come down on them harder.
Right.
Because they were stiff-necked according to the Bible itself, right?
Yeah.
So where are we moving to?
There was an interesting comment in there that I want to look at a little bit further in chapter 19. It talked about the baptism of John.
Oh, in chapter 18
A little bit. So let's read verses 1 through 10 of Acts 19, because it's going to mention that again.
All right. Are you reading or you want me to
read? Why don't you go ahead and read this?
All right. So 1 through 10, Acts chapter 19. "And it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus.' When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, when the men were about 12 in all, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the schools of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks.
So wow. When you read this section, it brings a lot of questions to my mind.
Yeah, it does.
And obviously, again, we have a situation where we have people that want to follow Christ. Mm-hmm. They want to understand the gospel, but they haven't been educated into the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul here is interacting with them, finding out what they know, and then further educating them or further telling them about the full gospel of Jesus Christ. But the first question I have, especially since we saw this name in Acts 18, is who is this John?
Ah, so my understanding is that this is John the Baptist. That's what we call him because it wasn't because he was Baptist in faith. You know, today we have a faith. There's a denomination called the Baptist.
Uh-huh.
But he would baptize people. Some Bible translations say John the Baptizer.
Okay.
So can we find more information on this John in the Bible?
I think we can start really with an interesting story in Luke chapter 1.
All right. Let's go there. Luke chapter 1.
I think most people know that the mother of Christ's name was Mary.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think most people would know that.
And I don't know that people know that John the Baptist was the son of Mary's cousin, Elizabeth.
Okay.
And do you know how Mary was, an angel came to Mary to tell him about what would happen to her in terms of being the mother of Christ?
That's right.
Yep. Well, let's read this story about the parents of
That's a good idea.
John the Baptist.
All right, very good. So where do we start here?
In verse 5.
All right, are you going to read or do you want me to read?
Go ahead, and you can start.
You just tell me when to stop.
All right.
Okay, so this is Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years.
Wow, I know we're talking about John the Baptist, but this reminds me of another story in the Bible about two people that were advanced in years.
In the Old Testament.
Yes.
That was Abraham, right?
Yeah, Abraham and Sarah. I just wanted to mention that because this is kind of the same situation.
Yeah.
They were older in years, probably past their childbearing years.
Correct. That's right. So really we could say that the birth we know of Abraham and Sarah was miraculous.
Right.
So this birth that's about to happen is miraculous as well.
Huh.
So where did I stop there?
Continue in verse 8.
Okay. Yeah, because it said they were well advanced in years in verse 7. Verse 8, so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense, and he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to the disobedient, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people."
So, wow. Wow, this is quite the story. Someone who should not be able to have a child is now having a child because this is the will of God in their lives. And it was for a specific purpose. It was for this John, as we know as John the Baptist now, to be born. And, you know, there was a prophecy about the prophecies of Elijah. And this John, we can see here in verse 17, that he shall go forth before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah.
Yeah, that's actually a quote from Malachi chapter 4.
To turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to wisdom.
Yeah.
To make a difference in people's lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So isn't it amazing that, this is quoting from the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4. And so we see lots of things from the Old Testament repeated in the New Testament and being fulfilled in the New Testament.
Right. Let's keep reading on.
Verse 26, I think.
Notice the similarities here. This is the birth of Jesus foretold.
Okay.
And in the sixth month, verse 26 of Luke 1, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, the same one that talked to Elizabeth, was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth. And a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Hail, one receiving grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considering what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not fear, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit shall come on you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." "And behold, your cousin Elizabeth also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Wow.
So I just want to point out a couple little
small
details, which might not seem to make a difference, but is important to know for later on. When this angel Gabriel came to Mary, Elizabeth was already 6 months pregnant.
That's right.
So that means John the Baptist was older than Christ.
Yeah, 6 months older. That's right.
So just a little tidbit to keep in the back of your mind as we go along.
Okay.
And look at Mary's response to this thing. Now, many people think Mary was a very young girl, maybe about 16 years old when this happened. Look at her response. let it be to me according to your word.
What verse are you in there?
It's in verse 38.
Verse 38. Yeah. Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Yeah.
She was willing to have the will of God done in her life.
Absolutely.
And no matter how miraculous this was, she still had to deal with the people around her that would think bad things about her because of this.
You know, Ed, this text for me was a big, had a big pivotal part in my understanding of who Jesus really is.
Uh-huh.
The Son of God, the literal Son of God, who became the Son of Man.
Yes.
And so particularly, I'll just share this, in verse 31, when this angel's speaking to Mary and it says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall and shall call his name Jesus. So when I think about this, you will conceive. So this means that Jesus took on the nature of Mary.
Yes.
So many times, you know, I was taught all of my life that Mary was just like kind of like a surrogate. But no, she's the mother of Jesus, the Son of Man. She was his mother. So this is amazing to me because this really shows the love that God has and the pains that he went through to make sure that Jesus would come here and live as we are to help us to overcome.
Yes.
So I guess we'll get there as time goes on.
Read the next little section in Luke chapter 1. It talks about when Mary and Elizabeth meet together while they were both pregnant.
Okay, yeah. Is that, are we beginning in verse 39?
Yeah, the very next section.
All right. It says, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. That's pretty amazing, isn't
it? Yes.
You know, I've heard of babies moving, but this must have been a profound leap. This had a huge effect on her, didn't it? And it says in verse 45, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.
So we're talking about John the Baptist, and this is the beginning of his life here. And these are the things that have already happened to him even before he was born.
Mm.
So
that's amazing.
Let's go to chapter 3 of Luke.
Okay.
And this is, again, prophecy being fulfilled through this man, John, and we know him as John the Baptist. I'm going to begin in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Luke.
Okay.
And this is the modern King James Version of the Bible. And in the 15th year of the government of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonius country, and Licinius, the tetrarch of Abilene. Wow, I should have had you read that. Verse 2, Ananias and Caiaphas being the high priest. The word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country around Jordan, proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin.
Hmm.
Now, the reason we're even talking about John the Baptist, because Paul was asking these people is, you know, well, what baptism have you been baptized with?
Yeah, we read that in Acts 19. That's
where
we
just were. Yes, and they respond to the baptism of John.
Right.
So here we're reading about it.
Gotcha.
Let's continue on. Verse 4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, Every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And he said to the crowd that came forth to be baptized by him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say within yourselves, We have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Mm. Let's just stop here for a minute, because this is important what he's saying here. John is saying, what is the fruit of your life?
Mm.
Is it worthy? I mean, repent of your evil ways is what he's saying. And don't tell me you're the children of Abraham, so we're okay.
Yeah, you know, that's people do that these days.
Don't tell me I belong to this church
right.
and you're okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't put your salvation based on your heritage, your culture, the church you go to.
Right.
Because that can't save you.
No, it can't. And, you know, think about, you know, when we look at this, there was something that you read here just a moment when it said, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance.
Yeah.
So he's talking about a lifestyle change.
Yes, a repentance is change, turning
yeah.
away from sin.
Yeah, that's it. So in other words, like you said, Ed, just because I'm affiliated with this church or that church, so many times we'll say, well, my grandfather went here and it was good enough for him.
Right.
It's not about the relationship with the church. It's about the relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is the point that's being made. This is what's so important about the gospel,
right.
having a relationship with Jesus.
So John's baptism is a baptism of repentance, of turning away from sin, of bearing the fruits that God created us to bear in our lives.
Mm.
Look at verse 9. This must have been very traumatic words for the Jews to hear. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear forth good fruit is cut down and cast in the fire.
Mm.
What happens to a tree if you take an axe to the roots?
It dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You may be able to chop a tree down and leave a stump,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes trees will grow from that stump.
Yeah, some do.
But if you kill the roots, there's no chance of that tree to growing. And it's talking about judgment here.
Yes, it is.
And so, look at verse 10, and the mm-hmm. people asked him, saying, what shall we then do? And he answered to them, verse 11, he who has two coats, let him give to one who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. And tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, continue to do no more than commanded to you. And the soldiers also asked of him, saying, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not forcibly exhort anyone, nor accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts concerning John, lest perhaps he was the Christ, the Messiah.
Wow, so his character was that of Christ.
And what he was preaching reminded them of the prophecies in the Old Testament
yes.
of Jesus Christ. And verse 16, John answered, saying, I indeed baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I comes, the thong of whose sandals I'm not worthy to loose.
Mm.
And he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Hmm. So
Paul, Acts 19.
Yeah.
What happened there? He asked, well, with what baptism have you been baptized with?
Right.
The baptism of John. What did he have them do? He had them baptized in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
And he laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit.
So
they receive the baptism of Jesus.
Absolutely. So can you just give us a little bit of detail here, Ed? You know, when it says, he will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. What does that mean? And when we look at, you know, well, you were baptized into this repentance or into John's baptism, but now you're baptized by Holy Spirit and fire. What does that mean to you?
Well, wow, there's so many things going through my mind here. But let's go to Acts chapter 2.
Okay, yep. I actually have a note in my Bible right here, Acts 2, 1 through 4.
Okay.
I wrote that in there a long time ago.
Okay, well, why don't you go ahead and read that then?
Okay, sure.
Actually, before you read that, let's go to Acts 1.
All right.
And I want you to read, if you could for me, please, verses 6 through 11 of Acts 1.
Acts 1, beginning in verse 6, it says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.
All right, so Jesus is telling them that you shall receive the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Mm. I should just have you start in verse 4. Let me read 4 and 5. Jesus, having met with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So we had just read in Luke chapter 3 where John baptized the baptism of repentance.
And yes.
For those who may not know, this was a baptism in water where John would baptize people by putting them underneath the water and bringing them back up.
Right.
And here Jesus is telling them that you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we know that John prophesied that it is Jesus that baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So now let's go to Acts chapter 2, and let's read the section that you wanted to read.
Okay. I think it was 1 through 4.
Okay.
It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
And the speaking that they spoke, was it just nonsense?
Well, actually, it tells us
let's read a little bit farther.
Yeah, because this is pretty amazing. So one of the things I want to point out just before we go on, it says there in verse 3, there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them.
All right.
What does that mean anything to you?
Well, let me look up the King James.
Okay.
It says in the King James, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire.
That's more accurate, isn't it?
Yeah. Cloven, when I think of cloven, and I think of the Bible, back in the Old Testament, God gave instructions for one's diet.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the instructions to determine what animal was clean or unclean was to have a cloven hoof.
That's right.
Or a split hoof.
So it's one hoof.
Yeah.
But it's
split into two.
Yes. So you know, we find in the Bible that Adam and Eve, the two, were to become one flesh, right? Jesus said, the Father and I are one. So these cloven tongues could indicate the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ.
Yeah.
So let's continue on.
Yeah, tell me about these languages they were speaking.
Yeah, so it speaks about this tongues in verse 4. And then it says in verse 5, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak," listen carefully, it says, "in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.' So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'Whatever could this mean?' Others mocking said, 'They're full of new wine.'"
So listen to what's happening here. In verse 11, it says, "We hear them speaking," my Bible says, "the great things of God." Yours says, "the wonderful works of God," in their own language.
Yes.
Not everybody can understand each other's language.
Very true.
But here, through the power of the Holy Spirit, these people were enabled to preach the gospel in languages they didn't know.
Yes.
Or people to hear it, at least in their own language.
Yeah. You know, I've always pictured this, Ed, and I can't be dogmatic about this, but I've pictured it. The only language I speak is English. That's a fact. I'm American, right? Yeah. If you speak two languages, you're bilingual. If you speak three languages, you're trilingual. If you speak one language, you're American.
Yeah, that's
right. I'm American.
Yeah.
So if I'm speaking and I'm somewhere like they were here and God's Spirit is there, that means that if someone is there that all they understand is Italian, they'll hear it in their language, even though I'm just speaking in English. That's the power of God's Spirit.
Jesus said, "When this gospel of the kingdom is preached to all the world, then the end shall come." Mankind by itself isn't able to preach the word of God without the help of God.
Amen.
Without the Spirit of God enabling us to do things we can't do on our own, to spread the gospel, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So, you know, in Acts 2, you know, they're accused of being drunk, okay?
Yes, they are.
And so Paul is preaching to them. He starts giving them the history of the plan of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take us down to verse 32.
Okay.
And here Peter is preaching. I may have said Paul earlier, but it's Peter that's preaching. And it says, "God raised up this Jesus of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you now see and hear."
Mm.
Christ has received the promise of the Holy Spirit from his Father, and having received that from God, his Father, he is now pouring out the Spirit upon the disciples.
Yes, he can pour it out. Because at this point, remember, we just read a few moments ago that he had ascended to the heavens. So now he can pour that Spirit out from the heavens. He's with the Father in heaven, but his Spirit can be in you and in me and in those listening.
Yes.
And no matter where we are in the world, and no matter what time of day or night it is.
Right.
That's pretty amazing.
You know, Galatians 4:6, "God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father."
Amen.
You know, we need to receive the Spirit of Christ in our hearts. And for what purpose, though?
To glorify God and to point to Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah, I want to share something. We're going to be skipping around. We could be much more detailed than we are, but I want to go to Acts chapter 3.
Okay.
And Mark, if you could read verses 19 to the end of the chapter.
Sure. Okay, so Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. And how far do you want me to read?
The end of the chapter.
Through the end. Okay. It says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, whom you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and all those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities.
Okay, here in verses 25 and 26, we see the promise of the Father that Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for. The promise was made to Abraham. And in your seed, that seed being Christ, and if we were to look in Galatians, that word seed is singular, meaning one person.
Right.
Shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. How? Verse 26, having raised up his son Jesus, Christ has been raised from the dead, God sent him to you first, sent the Spirit of Christ to them first.
Right.
The day of Pentecost, Christ was sent to them.
Yeah, that's right.
For what purpose? To turn every one of you away from your iniquities.
So to help us to overcome
sin.
Yeah. To help remove sin from them and from us. So this is a powerful thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So when we go back to Acts 19, this is the reason that these folks are baptized into Christ Jesus.
So instead of just the baptism of
repentance.
This is giving them a way to be able to change.
Yes.
By the indwelling Christ.
Right.
Right? Which it's one of the verses that I know you like is Colossians 1:27.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Which speaks of Christ in you.
The hope of glory.
The hope of glory.
Yeah. So, you know, when we look at this section in Acts 19 that we read, I'm going to read verses 3 and read a few verses.
Sure.
And Paul, he said to them, then to what were you baptized? And they said, to John's baptism. And Paul said, John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe unto him coming after him, that is, into Christ Jesus. And hearing, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So, I know we're almost out of time, but I want to ask the question in verse 5. It says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Why?
Wow. You know, this is a question that comes up pretty often, Ed.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when we look at the Bible and we read, a lot of people say, well, you know, some people are baptized into a church or a denomination. And the thing that we're seeing here is that you don't have to, you shouldn't be baptized into a church or a denomination.
Right.
You should be baptized into Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I know that, you know, there's actually, if you go to the website, you can type in baptism. And there's a sermon there that explains and shows, we go very methodically through. We know that Jesus, according to Matthew, says, it says there, baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But what do we find after that? Do we ever see that?
No, we don't. We never see that at all. In fact, the very men he's talking to there baptize people in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
So let's take a quick look at why he's doing that in Romans chapter 6.
Sure, Romans 6.
Okay. So I want to start in verse 1. Remember that Jesus was sent to them, according to Acts chapter 3, to turn everyone away from their sin.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1 starts, this is Paul speaking. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Let it not be. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?
Mm.
Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Mm. For if we have been joined together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, talking about the old man of sin, is crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from now on we should not serve sin. But he who died has been justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that when Christ was raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once, but that he lives to God. Mm. Likewise, count yourselves also to be truly dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it goes on talking about being slaves to sin or being a slave or servant to God.
Yeah. So dying to self is what this is talking about.
So this is the purpose of being baptized in the name of Jesus, because you're being baptized in Christ's death and being raised to a new life in him.
In the likeness of Christ.
Yes. That's why the Spirit of Christ is sent into our hearts and minds.
So that we can cry, Abba, Father. Isn't that beautiful?
Cry for the presence of God in our lives.
Amen.
Father.
You know, I know we covered a lot of material here this evening, and there's so much more.
Yes.
So we will continue next week with the same theme, if that's okay. And it's hard to believe. An hour just goes by so quick, Ed. It's just unbelievable. And friends, you know, we want to invite you to be here each and every week. And if you have those questions, please feel free to send them in. We're here every week, 7 p.m., New Visions Radio. And it's time to close with prayer. So I'll just have a closing prayer. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful to be here this evening and to be able to open your word, the Bible, and just see what you have to say to us through these pages. May we take these things to heart. May we allow the Spirit of Christ to dwell in us, that we can become changed. And Father, please help us to become more and more like your Son. We ask that your Spirit will be with us through this week, and that you will bless us and bring us back together again next week. We thank you for every gift you've given us, and particularly the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thanks for being here again this evening.
That was great.
It's a great study. I always learn so much. And, friends, we hope to see you again next week right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.